put that one together for us, Miss Darlene. Amen. I don't want to pick on you, but the reason you're fretting is because you're playing the guitar, right? So, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. She said put a chuckle. I mean, I'm just adding a chuckle at the end. Amen. For those who play music, you understand what I was just saying. All right? Amen. All right, you got your Bibles. Let's open to Luke's Gospel tonight. Luke chapter 8. If you'll be turning there, we're studying the parables. And we have an illuminating parable tonight. We've been singing about the light and being the light to this world and light that shines out in the darkness. And we certainly are called to be and do just that. Do you remember physics class? I know it's probably been a while. If you took physics, I remember we took physics and we studied light, right? Is it a wave or is it a particle? Which? I mean, Christian Huygens was the first one to describe light as traveling in waves. You can examine light in that way. It is a wave pattern. Sir Isaac Newton said light was composed of tiny particles. Which one is it? Well, it's actually both. Interestingly enough, it's always fun to study what God has made and put together. I mean, he's the one who said, let there be light. And the darkness, he just spoke, and there it was, light. The one who created the light, the one who said there should be light. He is light, right? He's the light of the world that comes into the world and shines into the darkness. He's the one who teaches us tonight about a parable about light. It's not a lesson you're going to learn in physics class, I'll tell you. But it is a lesson that's as important as what you learn in physics class. He teaches us not that it's a wave or a particle. He teaches us something essential about it. Not from a side perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. Something that you and I need to realize as disciples of Christ. I mean, we are called in Ephesians chapter 5, children of light. We're to live as an illuminating presence to the world around us. It's important to realize we don't manufacture the light. That's good to know, because sometimes I just don't have it in me, right? We don't have the power to generate it, to make it. We're more like reflectors, mirrors, right? I mean, you stop and you think about a lighthouse down at the coast. Of course, they're enjoying the snow down there. But the lighthouse that's up there, that's way up there in the sky in the tower, that light is really just a really small light. But what's around it are a bunch of mirrors that reflect that light and channel all that light and send it out. And that's really all we are. We're just reflectors, y'all. There's one light, and you and I are supposed to reflect that presence out into the world around us, the world of darkness around us. We do that as we navigate each day. Wherever God may send you, send me. Wherever our path may lead us, we get to bring the light of the Lord into that place as his children now. That light is the light of the gospel. It's the light of the good news that can illumine any darkness. It's the light that we now walk in, since our God is a God of light. And so we should be intentional to realize the power of light, the promise of light, the purpose of light. And that's what Jesus highlights, in this parable. This is what he emphasizes. And as he teaches the parable, remember, when he's throwing this instruction alongside his long discourses, his long narratives, the things he's teaching, and as he threw these parables out, he was trying to illustrate important principles about the kingdom of heaven. You know, the kingdom of darkness, right? We once were children of darkness, Ephesians chapter 2. In our deadness, in our sin, we walked in that way. We were influenced by the spirit of darkness that's in the air. We know who that is, right? The corrupt one. Children of death, children of doom, children of the devil, literally, is what Paul would say. We once were. Praise God he changed that. Amen? Aren't you grateful for that tonight? But we should live like that. We should walk like that. And when we understand this parable that he's teaching us about light, it helps us to see. Is light working its power in my life? Is light working its purposes through my life? Am I embracing the promises that light brings to me? It's just three verses, so Just hear the word of the Lord tonight on this parable of the revealed light. It's in Luke chapter 8. It's also over in Mark's gospel. No one, verse 16 through 18 tonight, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Lord, this is a spiritual admonition that you gave us. And may your Spirit, Lord, help us tonight to understand these fundamental principles about light. These lessons about the purpose and promise and power of light. How it can, Lord, work in our own lives and work through our lives. And Lord, it can speak to the lives of others around us. Lord, we want to be children of light. Thank you, Father. We once were in darkness, but you sent your Son to lead us out of that light, to transfer us out of that domain of darkness and into the domain of light. And so help us to live illumined. Help us to be, Father, the Illuminati, the illumined ones. Not as the world would think so, but as your word teaches tonight. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, now I'm not talking about the Bilderberg group tonight, okay? The Illuminati. All right, we are the illumined ones, though, of God. Amen? God's light has shone into our darkness. And we know that Jesus teaches this parable and gives us instruction. He gives it, interesting, right after the parable of the sower, which precedes this, which was so shocking perhaps when you got down to verse 18. And he said, therefore, take careful heed. Take heed how you hear. I mean, the parable of the sower was about receiving, hearing the word of the Lord. But there's something we need to see. Light's essential to see. And there is a correlation between those two things, what you and I do with the word and how we hear it and how it enables us to see. Remember, Psalm, you can write this in the margin of your Bible if you want to, Psalm 105, 119, 105, right? What does the psalmist say over there about the word of God? The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love to teach this principle to children because it's in the principle that we all need as children of God. But that is this: God's word will direct my steps each day and show me the right path to go down, right? When it illumines my feet, it shows me, oh, and this is the next step I need to take. Don't need to get too fast here. But also it'll show me the direction. It'll illumine the path, the direct. That'll always be the right path, beloved. A good shepherd always leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the good news is he illumines that pathway. And so we know that's the direction I need to go. And these are the steps I need to take. If you're ever wondering how to get down that path, open your ears and heart to hear the word. All right? So the parable of the sower precedes this, but we're focusing on the parable of the revealed light. And Jesus teaches in verse 16, he says, listen, here's the purpose of light. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. What's the purpose of light? The purpose of light is to illumine. And not just illumine things for us, but to illumine for others around us. No one, now listen, in their day, they didn't have light switches like we do in our homes. Of course, they illumined their homes. They illumined things with torches, or they had these little clay vessels, these little clay containers. Some of them were small enough to fit in the palm of your hand. I've seen some of them from archaeological sites, and they're really fascinating. They're just little vessels, and they would pour oil into those little containers, and they had a little place where a wick could come out, and you just put a piece of cloth. It's kind of like a kerosene lantern. You remember those were the days, right? That you had. Right now, we just charge things up and take our LED lights out camping, right? But we used to have kerosene lanterns, right? And man, if you weren't careful, even those little bulbs that were up there, man, you lit those things up, those get If they weren't properly prepared, you'd ruin your lantern real quick. They would light this oil, and the cloth served as the wick, right? It just wicked the oil up for the flame to burn. And so the cloth didn't burn as much because it was saturated with the fluid. And they just make sure you fill up your little container. Now, the purpose of that little container, the houses, they didn't have these wonderful bay windows and you know, all the windows we have in our homes. They didn't have that back in their day, right? Their homes had very little, very small windows. Sometimes it was just a slit that went across the top of a section of a wall. And they did that, of course. They needed protection in those days for their homes. And so they didn't always have windows that people could just, you know, climb through. And certainly that small slit, no one's climbing through that one, right? But also they did it for other reasons, for ventilation and or for keeping heat in, retaining heat, particularly in some regions. And also just the darkness of that, the way they designed their houses, it could also, if they did it right, where they put the slit, it did provide ventilation. But when they needed light on the inside, they'd light their lamps. Jesus says, listen, the purpose of light is to illumine things. No one takes their little lamp, right, that's lit, and covers it with a vessel. You don't take a pot, a bigger pot, and put it over the lamp and carry it around. What good is that going to do? You're not going to be able to see anything. No one takes the lamp and puts it down here underneath their bed. Probably start a fire that way, right? Now, what do? You take that lamp, and there's a notch on the wall. There's a notch up here high on the wall, and they would kind of put it up like a sconce or something. They'd put it up in there and allow the light, the purpose of light, to illumine the whole room. It's kind of like, listen, if someone drops a set of keys outside at night, and we all grab your cell phone real fast, right? And we'll hit our light and we'll raise it up and see, well, where's the reflection from the metal of the keys maybe? And you can spot it more quickly just because you raise it up and you get a lot more of a perimeter around that light where you can actually see things. The darkness just has to flee the higher you raise the light. And Jesus says that's the purpose. Light illumines things and it should be reminding us, listen, that light isn't just to illumine our lives, it's to illumine things around us and people around us. We want those who enter into that room to see the light. You know, light, it's amazing. It's electromagnetic in some ways, and our eyes are designed by the Creator. It's fascinating. The eye is one of the most difficult things for evolutionists to explain how it came to be. I mean, you just have to look at him and go, man, you've lost your mind, right? I mean, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He designed our eyes to function with light. You can't see without it, right? And I mean, it's more than just a physical thing, the way he designed us. There's a spiritual concept to that as well. We need God's light to see and make sense of the darkened world around us. And as we have that light shining, it enables us to see things that are happening. Jesus said, you know, if you have that light, make sure you're using it for the proper purpose, using it to illumine things around you. Listen, not just in your home, but we as the children of light, as Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5, we whose lives have now been changed and are no longer in darkness, and now we're walking in the light. John would say that in his epistle, right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we're lying. We're deceiving ourselves, right? The purpose of light is to illumine our lives and our world, where we're at, where God places us. And God brought light into the world that was in darkness. And that means, listen, that's the same thing for us. Here's the principle. If you've got light, raise it up. You know, one of the things right now you see in your culture, in our culture, what's going on. I mean, some light has been raised up this week by governing officials. It's really the responsibility of the church, right? I mean, it's fascinating to me how just in about 100 hours, I mean, my goodness, we can affirm two genders. We can affirm life is precious, a gift from God, and the sanctity of it. We can... we can remove and take out godless ideologies like wokeism that comes from atheism and Marxism, just like that. And yet, the church, man, we're the ones who have the truth. We're the ones who are supposed to be holding that up also, not just the president. I think this is a wonderful time, frankly, for the church to raise the light up, to illumine the darkness all around us. That's your responsibility and my responsibility this week, to influence where we're at, to bring more light out. This is a great opportunity. Just imagine, listen, not just one little lamp, but several lamps being lifted up, how much light that would bring into the room. You know, when we have the candlelight service and it goes dark and I'm standing down here and I've got one big old candle and I light that candle up, there's not a lot of illumination because it's just one candle. But as those candles are lit all around us and then it spreads from pew to pew and within the pews and even up into the balcony, and then we all raise that candle up on high, what happens? That light just illumines everything. That's what it's supposed to look like. It's the purpose of light. That's why you and I have been redeemed. We're supposed to shine forth that light. No one hides it. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel. We're not supposed to be ashamed of the truth of God. We're not ashamed of the power that's changed our life. We want to share that. Jesus says it has a purpose. So use it for its purpose. Realize that the truth has come into the darkness, and praise God, it changes things. It enables others to see. And as children of light, we're supposed to be exposing the deeds in the darkness, not participating with them. What Paul would argue for in Ephesians chapter 5, maybe we need to wake up, as he says at the end of that section in verse 14. You know, wake up and realize that we have a responsibility as the church to be well lit. Well, the lamp is lit, it's held up. And he says, listen, there's a power of what light, that's the purpose of light, to illumine things. But here's the power. Here's what light does. Notice what he says in verse 17. Nothing in secret will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known or come to the light. When you raise up the light, the power of light is to expose things, to make things known. Things that are in darkness, things that are in secret, they can't be hidden any longer. They have to be revealed. And anything that is hidden will be known. Anything that's not in the light stays in the darkness. But the moment you raise it up, the purpose of light is to make things known. That's godly influence. That's what we want. That's the power of light. You know, the Lord, the gospel he gave us is a gospel of light. It's a gospel of life. Light is essential to life. We know that from biology class, right? I mean, when you plant your beans and you put some underneath a bucket so they don't get any light, and you put others in the light of the sunlight that comes every day, those are the ones that grow, and they grow well. The others don't. Light is essential to life. And it's true, not just naturally, but supernaturally. We need the light of the gospel. Now, this is the amazing thing. Jesus, that light that came into this world, the darkness didn't want it. The darkness tried to suppress it. The darkness didn't want to receive the light. But praise God, the work of the Spirit of God illumines us and helps us to be convinced of the truth and convicted of what we've done, the sin of rejecting him. And we receive the light. And it's that light that gives us light. Light comes in and it confronts. It confronts the darkness, and the things that are hidden are then made known. That's what Paul would say again over in Ephesians chapter 5. The light has the power to expose secret things and make them known. Too often, we live as though we can get away with it, right? You stop and think about how things are often illumined at some point. When I look back over in the Old Testament, God has a history of illuminating things, things that were kept secret. You know, Joseph's brothers, right? They tried to keep a secret about what happened to Joseph. Dad, we found his garment stained with goat's blood, remember? Probably. Dad, an animal must have torn him apart. Of course, Jacob was just broken. He'd lost his son. And years he carried that with them. And the brothers did too. And yet God, in his timing, exposed it, right? He brought it to light. Now what's amazing is what they meant for evil, God meant for good. Praise God for that. But the truth is, they couldn't keep it hidden. Those things that were secret were eventually made known. When God's people came into the promised land, Achan took some of the things that were forbidden, some of the idols of the land, the things that were, as it says in the book of Joshua, they were under the ban. Nobody was to touch them. They belonged to the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, or the Parasites, however you want to say that. All the Jebusites, all of them. And God said, I don't want you. You're my people. Don't you embrace any of that stuff. You don't need that stuff. You have me. Well, Achan, he took some and he hid it. And it was amazing how God exposed that with light. One by one, a tribe was chosen, a family was chosen, and then Achan's family. And Achan, he just came forward and confessed. But it was too late. The effect of it was going to bring judgment not only on him, but also on his family. David, how long he tried to hide his sin. Well, it worked for about 8 or 9 months, but then the baby was born. Nathan came to him, and God sent the prophet Nathan and exposed the truth with the word. A simple parable he told him in that day, right? About a little lamb that was stolen from a man by the man who had a great big flock. God revealed it. I think it's interesting, oftentimes David, of course, giving that psalm of confession in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, two songs of confession that he had. But it's interesting, David would talk over there about the need for the Lord to illumine my darkness. To realize that I need, you need, we all need this light, the power of the light to shine into our hearts, to expose things so that we don't keep them hidden, but that we keep ourselves close and clean with the Lord. Exposing our seats, I don't want the Lord to expose my sins. It's things we call the skeletons, right? No, the joy for us is to come to a throne of grace and a throne of mercy every day. To not try to pull the wool over the Lord's eyes, that won't ever work. The light illumines, it exposes things that are kept in secret. Nothing in secret will not be revealed. Nor anything hidden that will not be made known. It all comes to light. You realize God will reveal it in its time, in his time. Do you know, have you already asked yourself, why didn't he expose it right away? I mean, he could, right? Think about that. Why does he wait? Why does God wait for and not reveal it right away? Man, he's long-suffering, amen? You stop and think about what Moses learned on the mountain in Exodus 34 when God passed by him. That great summary of all those attributes is God testified of what kind of God he is, a covenant God, a God who made all things, created all things, Elohim, Yahweh, the God. He says, Lord, Lord God, merciful and gracious. Starts out right there, praise the Lord. Long-suffering, why is he so patient? Well, he wants us to experience that mercy and grace. But part of that is us confessing, acknowledging what's hidden, what's been made known. Not trying to hide it from him. I mean, you know, the invitation, it's just like when Adam was in the trees hiding in his nakedness. Why was he there? Because of his shame, of his sin. When he heard God walking, he ran for the trees because he knew in his darkened state he had disobeyed the word of the Lord. And God called, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that God didn't know, he knew. It was an invitation for Adam to acknowledge what really had happened. And God is so merciful and gracious and long-suffering, patient with us. He's abounding in goodness and truth. And he forgives, praise God. But he also, as Moses would reveal there, when God passed by, he doesn't just forgive, but he also, listen, he does judge sin. He does take sin seriously. And yet there's an invitation that's extended to us every day to acknowledge, God, I need you today. Forgive me where I've fallen short. I mean, I think about these promises that I've found in God's word. Proverbs 28, verses 13 and 14. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes will have mercy. I mean, if that's the disposition of my heart, listen, we, as someone, one great preacher always said, keep it close and keep it clean, right? Stay close to the Lord, keep a short list, keep close and keep clean. Why? Because the nature of light is to make things known, to reveal things. Of course, there's the wonderful promise there in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Not only the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all, but if we say we have fellowship with him, we walk and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, then we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. Beloved, here's the thing. So oftentimes when our sin is exposed, when the secret is made known, we run from the light when we ought to run to it. This is the invitation. This is the power of light, not only to make things known, but there's forgiveness that's available. There's grace and mercy. Run to him. Don't hide it, because at some point he will make it known. You say, well, he's not making it known now. For some people, they've passed away. And then we discover later, you know, they embezzled funds later after they done things. Or, you know, well, I could just give you a whole laundry list lately of the last administration, but I won't do that right now, right? I'm more worried about what? My own sin, right? That'd be easy to focus on someone else. What about mine? What am I trying to keep secret? What am I hiding? God wants us to come, step into the light. It's an invitation, right? To make it known. Because see, there's going to be a throne of judgment. There's going to be a throne, whether it's the great white throne where unbelievers will stand before the Lord and everything will be exposed then, or if it's the Lord's bema seat, where a seat of judgment for believers, where what we have done in the flesh will be rewarded, and Christ has already paid the penalty for our sins. Now, that's not a license for us to keep sinning and living in secret, but it's an invitation to us to turn from it and run to him and be cleansed and experience his grace and his mercy. You know, better is the man, happy is the man who's always reverent. That's how we should live, the Proverbs would say. Because light is powerful. It's going to make things known. That's the purpose of light. But there's a promise. Notice what it says here in verse 18. And this is, again, not tied to things we see with light, but the things we hear. Notice this. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Why? For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So here's the promise that light brings. It's twofold. If I listen to the illuminating power of the word, if I'll embrace the word, if I'll be, now there's lots of things that want your ear, okay? There's lots of voices out there, lots of spirits of darkness out there. They're trying to get your attention, get you to listen to them. Now the light of the word has spoken to us. The light of the Lord has come to us. So I've got to tune my ear, incline my ear to hear. Right? I always like to say it's with the kids. Squirrel, right? Get your ears up. Listen. God's speaking. And be careful how you hear. Because whoever has, to him more will be given. In other words, listen. If I take some light in and it illumines things and I act upon it, the amazing thing about what God will do is he'll give me more light. The more light that I receive and I put into practice, God gives more light and more light and more light, because you and I have shown a receptivity to that illuminating power of the Word of God. If you and I don't receive the light, just the opposite happens. Even what we have may be taken from us. If I harden my heart and I don't like what the Word of God says and how it illumines my life, and I'm unwilling to plant it in the soil of my heart and let it bring forth a fruit, then actually what's going to happen is even what I have or seem to have will be taken from him. You see, the person who rejects the truth loses his ability to see, to recognize things. His ability to discern truth is diminished rather than enhanced. I mean, you know that's the truth. I mean, the more light you bring in, stop and think about this. Did anybody learn a foreign language when they were in high school, right? We all learned foreign languages. I lived up north, you know, as I said this morning. And so because we were just a stone's throw from Canada, we learned lots of French. Everyone learned French, right? And I had Madame O'Hare, one of the greatest French teachers. I mean, I can still right now, just all those paradigms are in my mind because she just drilled it into us. And I loved Madame O'Hare. She was just a great French teacher. But one thing I've learned over the years is, you know what? Maybe, did you learn Spanish? A lot of people in the south, closer to Mexico, right? So you learn Spanish, right? Generally, that's how it works, right? You know what's amazing? We've learned it. We learned the paradigms, the vocabulary and things. But if I asked you to speak it today, you'd say, oh, forget that, right? Why is that? Because we haven't put it into practice, right? We haven't put it into practice. It's kind of like math. I mean, I've got an engineering degree, so I had to learn, you know, Algebra 1, Algebra 2, pre-calc, calc, all forms of calculus and statistics and all those fun things. If you ask me to solve a problem right now, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'd have to seriously brush up on it to be able to solve a problem. This is the same thing. If you ask me to speak French, now I can speak that because I've been having to teach my sons and my daughter. I've kept my French fresh, and so, you know, I'm still pretty good with it. But that's just like the things with spiritual truth. If I receive the light and I put it into practice, most likely then I'm going to be more apt to see more clearly and embrace more light in my life. But listen, if I receive light and I don't do anything with it, I'm going to lose the power of that light in my life. And so we need to have a heart that's willing and careful about what I hear, what voice, what sound is coming in my ear. Jesus is teaching these principles of heaven because we want the light to shine in our lives, and we want to raise the light up for others around us to see so that they can be drawn to the light. And we're not going to put it under a, you know, hide it under a basket. No, right? I'm going to let it shine. That's what we need to do. And right now we have a wonderful opportunity to do just that. We've received the spiritual truth. We've received the light of the word. And we don't want to diminish it or reject it. So lift up your lamps. Illumine the place where God places you. Let the light shine in your hearts. It's, again, a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. That's what the word does. It illuminates steps and directions and paths we need to go down. It helps us in our daily choices and helps us to find what is acceptable to the Lord. As Paul would say over in Ephesians chapter 5, it helps us to do the fruitful works of light, not the unfruitful works of darkness, to expose those things. That's what I should long for this week. And so I want to invite you to pray with me about that tonight. Lord, I've heard the light of your word. It's shone in my heart. And if that's true, then Lord, this week, I want to see the power of light bringing life. Bringing life, the fullness of life in my life. The bringing life to others around me. Illuminating the deeds of darkness. Even exposing them, Lord. Enough is enough. Let's shine this light widely for others so they can see and experience the life that Christ has to bring for them. Will you pray with me tonight? Father, thank you for this instruction on light, the power of it, Lord, the promise of it, Lord, the purpose of it. And Father, I pray that as your people, as your children, we would walk in the light as you're in the light. Lord, fill us with your spirit, and may you, Spirit of God, take this word and sear it on our conscience, sear it on our hearts, Lord. Lord, chisel it there so that it would be the way that we are instructed and guided in the path that we should take this week, the steps that we should take down that path. Guide us, we pray. Lord, I'm grateful. Lord, you've redeemed us, and we're still here so that we can expose darkness, Lord, so others might be drawn to you. So may you do that this week. We'll give you all the glory and honor. King Jesus, we love you and we praise you and ask these things in your name. Amen and amen.